Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletail from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Washington, D.C. is Kyle Welch. Kyle is an assistant professor of accountancy at the George Washington University School of Business and has done some very interesting work in the area of helplines. Professor Welch, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me.
So it would be good if you could start by talking about the primary objectives of your research and what data you used.
Yeah, no problem. As an academic, I'm employed by George Washington University, and I get paid to do two things, do research and to teach. And I was in my office and thinking about research ideas, and I thought it'd be really interesting to look at information related to these helpline reporting systems, these, you know, sometimes called hotlines or internal whistleblowing systems. And so I reached out to an organization and Navex Global, and they initially, you know, were very skeptical about being able to do anything. And over the course of about 2 years or so, and through lots of conversations, interviews, and talking with people, they eventually came comfortable with the idea of, you know, anonymizing the data and getting the data so that we can do something interesting about talking about how effective these systems are and if they impact firms and they impact organizations and is it positive or negative. There's a ton of outstanding questions as a manager. If you look at the number of reports or volume of reports or types of reports, like there's zero literature out there on what you should do. So part of the research was to find those answers to those questions, and to see what different levels of different items being reported suggests means.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely a lot of questions out there. So let's start with the most positive news from your research. What did you find out about firms that have active use of their internal whistleblowing lines?
So we have a couple of things. We started by saying, okay, well, what is the nature of these reports within firms, and what type of firms have more active or passive use? And then we look at outcomes. And so initially we said, okay, who are the firms that are active? And we kind of came up with a couple different measures of active. One was number of reports per employee at the firm, which makes a lot of sense. The more reports per employee at the firm just means you have more activity in the system. We also use some other measures, how much of the reports are actually filled out by the employee. So the employee has an opportunity to not answer certain questions related to certain reports, and that might be we thought it might be correlated to the comfort in the organization and willingness to actually come forward with things. And then we looked at the final measure of activity of how many times a report's been accessed. Now, a lot of different firms have a lot of different protocols for doing it, but if you, on average, look at a report more, it gets more attention, per se. So we look at these three different metrics, and all of them are very highly correlated. And what we find is that power users, the high users of the system, are firms with higher quality governance. They have higher quality earnings reports. They are larger firms. They're usually older firms. They're firms that are more profitable, firms with more leverage, and also firms that are facing increased litigation risk. And when I say that, the opposite's also true for each one of those. So firms that are less active users in the lower end of the users and activity in the systems are usually with firms with poor governance, monitoring the firms with lower quality reporting. They're usually smaller firms. They're usually newer firms. They're usually less profitable. And one of the interesting ones is firms facing extreme growth. So if they're growing really fast, you can imagine compliance is something, if you have a choice, if a manager has a choice between a sale or going through compliance and then getting the sale and they're in some sort of land grab, it makes a lot of sense. But firms facing extreme growth also end up being limited users. And so those are the main outcomes about the users of the systems. And this is kind of neat because if you think about it, it's counterintuitive for those outside of the compliance literature. So if you were to go and grab the average person on the street and bring them in and say, okay, you got a choice to work at two firms, all right? One firm is going to be a firm that has a lot of reports in their system. The other has little. And both firms are equal in every way. If you ask the average person which firm would be the higher quality or better firm, most would probably go with the one with fewer internal reports. And the neat thing about this finding is that's not true. That's not true on average. The firms with the lower number of reports are not per se better on average. And it would be, if you were to base your decision based on that, it would be bad, which is good for managers because managers look at these reports. Audit committees look at these reports. Different people look at the number of reports and volume of reporting they bench it to. They use a benchmark relative to the industry for the year. And what's to make about being below or above or where you are on the benchmark? And this kind of helps answer that question. It's of what to do with managing the metric.
I think it does a heck of a lot and would suggest to management. And if a helpline stops ringing, the people are not just afraid to come forward, but maybe not working productively and a sign of future problems for the business. Now, why do you think some of these firms are less likely to get calls to their helplines? You mentioned startups where people may be more mission focused. Are there factors that come into play that may diminish the number of calls people are likely to make?
Yeah, so this is an important question because as a manager, the system's designed to get information that you couldn't get otherwise. It's information that really can only come from humans about what's going on with the human dynamic in an organization. And so a given firm, let's say a startup, when you're relatively small, it's not that hard to instill a culture among, 30, 40 people. But as soon as you start growing and as soon as you start adding more bodies, there's a big problem. The whole reason companies have mission statements and values is to try to create a culture in the organization of a specific type. And to the extent a firm does not indoctrinate their employees well enough to embrace that culture, specifically a culture of if you see something, say something, call it, we want the feedback, we want the reports, it will get lost. And so it's difficult in that regard to as you are having more people grow and have be a part of your organization, this is a time where investing in compliance should be probably overemphasized in the sense that you should probably do it even more to make sure that the new people that come on are following the logistics and rules in the way they should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's certainly a good way to help avoid troubles. And speaking of trouble, one of the things that was troubling is that the data was sort of U-shaped. As the number of calls went up, fines and penalties went down. But for those at the highest level of helpline use, fines and lawsuits started to climb again. Why do you think that was?
So you're referencing the charts that are in the research. And the big high level is these are the outcomes. So this is the outcome analysis. And so what we did is we looked at the data and we said, okay, how do these reports and levels of reports impact various negative outcomes? The first one being the number of lawsuits and the amount of settlements. And then the next one being the number of government fines from government agencies. And what we find is in every regard, as a firm engages with the system, there's significant cost savings. So the average settlement amount for a lawsuit, this is a material lawsuit that's disclosed on a 10K financial statement, goes down about 20%. And the number of lawsuits, material lawsuits that get disclosed, go down considerably as you engage with the system initially. And the same is true with fines. Fines for government fines goes down around on average. So this is an average. So you have some industries that get fined a whole lot, but across the average across industries, and then taking out the year, average firm saves about $6 million just by engaging in the system and moving up from the first decile of use to the second and third decile. So what that tells us is that engaging with the system seems to inform managers about information they didn't have, that the firms that engage with the system seem to be able to avoid this cost and as they engage with the system more. At the tail end, there's a slight difference where it goes up a little bit at the highest decile. So if you look at the study, it's available on SSRN. The highest decile, it seems on every chart to tick up just a little bit, not nearly in the same regard as the engagement with the system, but it does tick up a little bit. And I suspect we are still trying to figure out how to identify this and use this. I suspect what's happening with the system is that at the higher levels, you have a lot of reports and potentially you don't have enough coverage to respond to the reports. One thing we know is not clear. It's not that when you have more reports, you need to figure out how to get your reports down, because it's very easy to get reports down. You just change the phone number, or you change the website, or you just don't talk about it. And that's the last thing you want to do, right? What's most likely happening at these high levels is, and we don't have the data. This is, you know, this research is still, you know, in process. Our initial finding of engagement is the main thrust. But at the high ends, if I was a manager of a firm that was at a high end of the distribution, what I would do is I would initially contact my compliance team and say, do you guys have enough coverage for your calls? Do you feel like you're overworked? Do you feel like you're getting enough thing? Because basically what you could be missing is things that are like right in front of you, where people are making reports, but you're not able to respond because you just have not invested in compliance in the way that enables you to respond at these high levels.
Mm-hmm. The bottom line is that the evidence shows that it's far better to encourage employees to come forward than not. And I think you agree, you know, don't let people be distracted by the little twist in the curve to think that it's counterproductive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at the average, even if you go from first decile of use, and this is just it with fines. This is not lawsuits, mm-hmm. fines, and all the other things that it helps out, because these are just the things that we can measure. Like, the reality is that anybody that engages one of these systems or manages these systems realize they have an effect beyond the amounts that are here, right? When somebody's dealing with a harasser or a problem manager at work, that just doesn't affect that individual. That has something that we can't measure with price, but that person takes that home with them. They interact with the rest of their family with that baggage on them. It has effects that we can't measure, but just by the effects we measure, you know, engaging with the system saves on average, the average firm, several million dollars by doing this. And that is just from initially engaging with the system and being an active user in the system.
Well, thank you for this research. I think it, you know, makes a very good case for compliance programs, helplines, and environments where people come forward and feel safe doing so. I want to encourage you to keep at this for all of our benefit, honestly, in addition to your own. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and ATCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.